Beaming to you from the plastic microphone studios deep in the heart of Cajun country, this is Fave 5 from Fans. I'm your host, Jamie Ray, and I'd like to welcome you to episode number 119. Today, I've invited artist extraordinaire Jason Turner to zoom in to the plastic microphone studios to discuss our Fave 5 virus films. Jason is a musician. Oh, thank you. I need to be. He is a singer and a guitarist who performs gigs literally all the time. I think he's like between sets right now. I could be wrong.
I can.
And when he's not doing that, he is cranking out some extremely creative artwork. And if that wasn't enough, he's also the artist for a very unique comic book entitled The Ripper Gene, which has a very interesting genesis to it that I'm going to ask him to go into. But first, I want to welcome him to the show. How you doing, sir?
Thank you. I'm fantastic.
Awesome.
Great intro.
Yeah, it's because you're an amazing artist. You really are. I mean, the stuff that you put out at those shows is really something else.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, especially coming from you. And
does it sound sincere? I've been practicing. I have a
as much grief as the two of us give each other. I don't know right now or not.
No, I really do. We do give each other grief because it's fun. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't spend time, messing with you. But you do crank out some, not just some really great artwork, but man, every time I see you at a show, you've got another piece or two pieces that have come out and you've got the comic going on. So it's really impressive, and it's recorded now. You can play that back whenever you're feeling down and hear Jamie tell you what a great artist you are.
The next time you give me grief, I'm just going to be like, hold up. No, you said,
but you can't believe everything on the internet. So yeah. Jason, tell everybody, all 32 people, and including the German, what it is that you do. Not even in a nutshell, because I know there's so much going on. So tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah. You covered a lot of it, but I'm singer-songwriter. I've got a few albums out. Been doing that for 20 some odd years. Play guitar and sing. Also, I'm a comic book artist. So, you kind of covered it all. But when I'm not doing that, I'm teaching other people how to play guitar and booking venues and never sleep,
You don't ever seem to sleep. And as much as the cool stuff that you do, I really am fascinated by the story behind the Ripper Gene. And the story of the Ripper Gene is very cool, but the story behind it. Do you mind sharing that story with us?
Yeah. So the Ripper Gene was a book written by Michael Ransom, that's his writer name, if you will. But his birth name was Ted Brzezinski. And his brother was my best friend and played bass in my band since I was 18. And he passed away a few years ago. And his name was Andy Brzezinski. And he had always told me about his brother, who's a scientist, and he wrote this book. And just, we'd always heard about it. But from the funeral, me and Ted got to know each other, and he saw that I drew comics. And he'd always wanted to turn his book into a comic. And so from that, we decided to do that. And I kind of modeled the main character off after the young version of my friend Andy, back when he had a handsome young man, he was older at the time of his passing, and so that's kind of the thing. It's a good, besides being a great story, it's a good homage to our brother, because he was like a brother to me too, so. Yeah.
No, I love that story, because you guys, literally you had this person in common who you both obviously love like a brother, and he's not there with you, but he has brought you guys together to work on this project. And I just think it's I don't know the right way to say it, but I think it's just a wonderful story. I mean, you take something that is tragic, his passing, and you've turned it into something pretty amazing. Bravo.
And he's still there with us, while we're making it.
Yeah.
And because this was a book. So one, it's not like it's we're going to have Spider-Man. It's going to be 500 issues. It's literally where we four is about to hit the stands and five is going to complete it. But five is going to be a big issue. So
yeah.
So it'll be a big issue in terms of more pages than normal. So we're going to complete it.
And what's the story of the Ripper Gene?
So the Ripper Gene is about a forensic FBI detective named Lucas Madden. A tragic book starts off with a tragedy in his childhood. And so he grows up to be a forensic, you know, scientist for the FBI. Well, he discovers a gene throughout the serial killers through time. And he's, you know, going and doing talks about it and has a book or whatever. And a modern day serial killer emerges around this time, starts kidnapping friends and family, amongst killing random strangers. And he might have a tie to his past. We don't know. You'll have to read the comic. But so it's a very, if you're a fan of like Forensic Files and Silence of the Lambs, stuff like that, it's for you. You know, it's definitely right up your alley.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying it myself. Where can people get it if they're not at one of the 360 shows a year that you do?
JasonTurnerArt.com has it all there for you.
Okay. And this is, you know, we're around March or so when this is coming out. When are you looking for episode 5 to be finished?
Hopefully by then, if not a little bit longer. I mean, it is going to be a longer issue, but I am taking on a colorist to kind of help me expedite that last issue. Because up to now, it's been me, pencil, ink, color. And the only thing I didn't do was lettering. And so it takes a little bit longer when you're wearing all the hats. So
yeah,
hopefully this one with me just doing the pencils and inks and my friend Mally Jenks doing the colors, hopefully it'll kind of, we'll get it out there by March. That's the plan.
But, yeah, well, we'll have links in the show notes so you can check it out. If it's already out, you've got a link to it. If not, they come out on Kickstarter.
It'll come out on Kickstarter. If not, Jason Turner Art's where you'll find it after the fact. So
awesome. And all of your amazing artwork.
Yeah, follow me on the Facebook or Instagram. I'll let you know, trust me. I promote a lot.
He does. Show us your tattoos of your QR codes. Wow, well, that's awesome. And what about your music? Where can we find your music?
You can find that on all streaming services. Apple, Spotify, whatever Android phones use. All the places you listen to music. It's out there.
Awesome.
I have an album coming out that will be out by the time this airs. A new album. Amongst all this stuff, I've been secretly recording an album for the past year and a half. And, because why not? And, it should be out by the time this airs.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. And so we met through Damon, I'm not mistaken, Pelican.
Yeah.
And I believe he's doing one of your covers. Is that right?
So by the time this airs, he did a cover for issue 4. So by the time this drops, his cover will be out there.
Right.
It's a very limited cover because you can find them from Damon's... either you got him on the Kickstarter or he'll have a stash for himself at the at his show. So
yeah. And he does some shows in Vegas and stuff. And he's at strikeholdstudios.com. Shout out to Damon. Damon's a good guy.
Super good guy. I was really surprised to meet you through him, but
yeah. You know. Well, and like, you know, if you're still friends with him afterwards. So, you know.
He's a great guy, but poor judge of character.
Poor judge of character.
He's friends with you and me.
So right.
I didn't mind doing virus movies when both of us have some kind of cold or something going on.
Right. Well, me actually, I have been cataloging my physical media collection, and there is dust everywhere. So hear it in my voice. But yeah, I think it should be appropriate that we are.
I think I ran myself into the ground. I played three shows the past 3 days. And I think I had a grand total of 7 hours sleep between 2 days. And so yesterday I finally went and saw Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, don't tell me anything about it. I want to see it.
Oh, I won't tell you a thing about it. I'm just going to say it's a masterpiece and you need to quit wasting your time and go see that movie.
Yeah.
It was. But during that, from the lack of sleep, I started feeling sinuses. I started feeling achy. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm getting sick. Turns out I needed to go to sleep because I once got a good night's back to normal. But
it's amazing what a good night's sleep will be. Are you watching Monarch?
I am.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that.
I'm loving it. Got a Godzilla Kong movie coming out. I'm like,
I know. Man.
Gee.
So much stuff.
Keep
it's coming. Monstrous what they're doing.
But don't.
All right. Well, we came up with doing the virus films after you picked from a list. So I am interested, what was it about virus films that you latched onto and started multiplying and replicating?
Well, I've always been a germaphobe. It's like Howie Mandel. I'm like right here. Just because as someone who is sang for a living since I was 21, getting any kind of anything going on has always made me paranoid. I'm like,
right.
Because it takes me out the game. It's like, you can go to work with any job except singing when you're sick, you know? So it's like, I've always been very paranoid of getting sick. And, but also, I'm a huge zombie movie fan. Speaking of my friend Andy, that was like, it's weird when like you lose somebody that close. Like, we would watch something, I swear, the two of us have seen every zombie anything ever. Like, things that you shouldn't watch, they're so bad, we have watched them.
Yeah, redneck so, zombies.
Still, like, I pick up my phone, like, hey, man, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But virus movies kind of lend to that world, too.
Well, I will say for this list, I purposely stayed away from true zombies. And that's for me, you know, and I didn't put that on you. It's just I recently did a zombies in the non-Romero universe episode. So I figured I covered a lot of those. So I wanted to make sure as much as possible that these were true virus films.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but not,
I'd say some of mine are.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
and it's okay if they're not, because you, generally speaking, it is a virus, though sometimes, depending upon how it starts, it's not. But anyway. We'll jump to that when we get to it. So, I mean, honestly, I'm really excited for it. I've got a couple of honorable mentions in my list of five. So do you have some honorable mentions?
I do.
Well, I think if you're ready, I'm ready. Why don't we dissect that list right now?
I'll take a little swig of water because I can feel the drainage in my throat. All right. I'll preface that I made my list in order, but some of these I might could move to a different spot. Just depends on how I'm feeling about them on the rewatch. But
yep, everybody's list, I think, usually except for number one. A lot of people say it's easy. I know the number one choice, and then the rest of them can move around some.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead. So I go first.
Yes, sir. You go first. What are your two honorable mentions?
My two honorable mentions, and honestly, I could move them into the top five. Like it's like I said, it just depends on where I'm at. I want to go with the Crazies.
Which one?
I'm a big fan of the remake, man.
The remake? Okay.
Yeah. So
there's a lot to be said for the remake. Oliphant is amazing.
Homeboy from Justified. Timothy, what's his last name?
Oliphant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I told you. And it's like, I know the answer like all day until it comes time to say it. And it's like, but I don't know.
I did say it too. But anyway, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to harp in that spot.
I love horror. I'm a big horror movie fan. So I like, it's virus, but everybody's just kind of going crazy. And just some of the visuals in that, I mean, it's, your blood's pumping through it.
Yeah.
Then a second honorable mention, I would say Cabin Fever.
Because
crazy.
I mean, really, tell me more about Cabin Fever.
It's fun. I like that movie.
It's
not a great movie. Like, not a, definitely not great, but just bonkers.
It is bonkers. And I will tell you, I've tried very hard to really like that movie. But, and I love Eli Roth. I mean, he has done some bat poo poo crazy stuff, and I've loved it all, but for some reason, I cannot. I actually like some of the other Cabin Fever movies more than I like that movie. The best part about that movie is the after credit scene. You know, that is just hilarious.
Yeah.
But before let's, instead of talking a little bit about Cabin, let's talk a little bit about Crazies. Because that is a great pick. It is a movie that I saw in the theaters. And being a big fan, you know, the Romero stuff is really good for me. I went into it very wary of how it was going to be. And I appreciated the fact that they took the themes of the movie and went in a whole nother direction with it.
Yeah.
So are you familiar with the original?
I saw it after the fact. So I didn't get into it knowing anything about it.
Right.
Like, I thought it was going to be a zombie movie until I went and saw it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is not, but this is awesome. You know, that's kind of where I ended up.
Yeah. Yeah. So Oliphant, like we said, Oliphant, however you say his name, was amazing.
Yeah.
Are there any other particular performances or scenes that really jumped out for you?
I love the towards the end when they're in the like the mechanic and he's hiding underneath the car and or the house is on fire, like when everybody's first starting to kind of lose it, and just some of those scenes where you're like, I like movies that push you, like you could totally be in that small town and see you're at a baseball game and here comes this dude, you know, the parent of a kid
right.
with a freaking gun, you know, just like you're like, well, what's going, you know?
Yeah, so, I love the part in the when the house is burning and the guy just comes outside, he's just like mowing his yard.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, just crazy.
Murder the whole family and burn the house down.
Yeah, yeah. No, but he's gonna keep the yard mowed.
Yeah.
That's the important part. Yeah. That's a great pick. That's two good picks. I like that second pick.
I didn't put that in the top five, the more I think about it. That's what I mean. I was like, I could put those back anyway. So number five, I'm gonna start backwards.
Well, not yet. I'm gonna give you my honorable mentions first. Okay. Just so, whoa.
So excited.
Take a pill. Get it? Because viruses. Anyway. So I have two honorable mentions. Okay, but one of them is made up of several parts.
Okay.
So the first is they're all based on the 1954 novel by Richard Matheson.
Okay.
Called I Am Legend.
Oh, okay.
So it's a great book. It is definitely a virus film. They're not really vampires. They're not really ghouls, or they're not who you think they are. And so it's been made into three films. Last Man on Earth in 1968 with Vincent Price, which I absolutely adore that movie. The Omega Man in 1975 with Charlton Heston, with the zombies, with the albino froze, just, you know, amazing. And then I Am Legend with He Who Must Not Be Named. I forget, is Will Smith canceled right now, or is he not canceled? I don't know. I forget
who's canceled these days. Maybe he's uncanceled. I think everybody's turning their attention to Jada these days.
Ah, there you go. So
who knows?
I love all three of the movies for different reasons. I really enjoyed the last one with what they were finally able to do with CGI. Some of it may be taken a little bit too far, but the scenes and the way that he works with the German Shepherd, Samantha, Sam, you know, and the different endings of the movie, they were all very good. And I like the way that it was kind of done in flashbacks, like some of the other movies were. Omega Man is just a hilarious romp. I mean, you cannot take that movie seriously, but it's a lot of fun. But I feel like the original Last Man on Earth, and of course, spoiler alerts for a movie, you know, back in 1968. I really, really felt for Dr. Robert Morgan at the end when he finds out that all of this time, all of the work that he had been doing to quote unquote save humanity and to kill these monsters, when he finds out, in fact, he's the bad guy. He's been killing people who basically are still alive, but just in another way. And instead of working toward healing them, he was putting them all, you know, in the grave and burning them. And it all sticks with me every time I see that movie. And it's beautifully shot in black and white. And that's got to be one of my most honorable, as Worf would say, mentions. The other one is a film called Bird Box from 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, are you familiar with that one?
Yeah, Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, yeah. A world plunged into darkness where the mere act of opening your eyes could lead to your demise. And not just a nice blow up into a million pieces demise, but you go crazy and commit suicide or murder or anything. And so if you're not familiar with this film, it's on Netflix. Sandra Bullock plays Mallory, a young woman who along the way picks up two children, boy and girl, and they're making their way toward a sanctuary. And the story is told in a bunch of flashbacks where we see what first happens and how it leads them to get to where they are. And I haven't seen the sequel or the co-movie or whatever it's called, where it's Bird Box Barcelona, I believe.
Yeah, I got a good 15, 20 into that. I was like, eh.
Yeah, okay. And well,
maybe somebody else has seen it. It's great. It didn't catch me in that amount of time. Yeah. I was like, and with most things on Netflix, I forget a lot of times I've started something.
Like, well, that's a good thing. I mean, honestly, if you can make that decision in the first 10 or 15 minutes of your life and say, you know what, I've got other things to do with this, I think that's great. I'm not like that. There's very few movies I've ever just given up on.
Well, let me rephrase. I'm not giving up. It's like my attention span. Like, I will just be like, oh, let me pause this. I got to draw this thing, or, you know, and then like, I forget it exists.
Yeah. Like, oh.
I'm not like, this movie's not to my standards. No.
It's okay. Yeah, cause yeah. I know people like that. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know, yeah. how do you not figure out how it doesn't end, you know?
Oh yeah. No.
Wow. So those are my two honorable mentions.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you. So let's turn around, jump back, and go to your number five.
All right, my number five is Contagion. This movie, I'd seen it when it came out, really dug it. It's very realistic to how things play out. And the last time I saw it was about the first week of the shutdown for COVID-19. I decided that was a good movie to watch. I still remember there's a scene in... You know, once everybody starts kind of losing their minds, there's no truth there. You know, there's a scene where his neighbor's house is getting broken into and they shoot the neighbors. And I just remember, like, I looked out my window. It was like 2 a.m. and there was like some dudes walking down my street. I'm like, here we go.
It's all the purge.
Yeah, it's already bad. So
this is the one with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's like, he's immune, but, like, you know, the whole world breaks down. It's pretty good.
I haven't seen it, but it's come up on other people's lists of, like, post-apocalyptic films.
Yeah.
And I've heard very good things about it.
It's going to feel really real after what we went through 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? Now, it's also very dramatic too. I mean, worst case scenario kind of deal, but in some countries maybe it was kind of like that. So anyway, check it out.
That's a solid check choice.
Outbreak we have.
Yeah. Contagion. I like that one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take your recent film and pair it against a movie from 1964 in vibrant color. It is The Mask of the Red Death. Again, with Vincent Price, it's a Roger Corman directed film, and it's based off of The Mask of the Red Death and Hop Frog, or The Eight-Limbed Orangutan by Edgar Allan Poe. So they mashed these two stories together. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, but
I feel like I have. I'm trying to rack my brain on it.
So it takes place in medieval Italy, where the Black Death is working its way across the countryside. And Prince Prospero, who is a Satanist, lives in the castle, and he's just a horrible, horrible dude. And that's Vincent Price. And he is confronted by these two starving villagers, and he finds a woman who has the Black Death. And so he tells them, burn everything, kill all of the people. And he takes the hot chick with him. And they go back into the castle, and then he calls all of his rich princely friends and says, come to the castle, We're going to lock ourselves in and wait for the Black Death to pass us by.
Yeah.
So inside, he throws this immense party where everybody comes in a masquerade. And unbeknownst to him, the Red Death takes the form of a human dressed all in red and attends. And he goes amongst the people. And as he comes by them, he's giving them the Red Death, Black Death, whatever you want to call it. And the amazing use of color in this movie is literally something else. He takes Esmeralda, the hot chick, and brings her through this series of rooms that are red and yellow and green and blue. And it's an amazing, amazing view. And yeah. In the end, you basically find out that when he pulls his mask, that the Red Death is Prospero. And everybody inside is dead. So it's a great film. The Hop Frog aspect of it.
But I feel like I've seen it, but it's kind of vague to me.
Yeah. It's I've always loved that film. It's one of my favorite. Though the Poe, Corman, Price movies, they're hard to pick which one is my favorite. That whole scene that I was telling you about when they go through the rooms, just once you see it, it sticks in your life forever. So,
yeah.
But all right. Well, let's hear what your number four is going to be.
It is a recent movie. It Comes at Night. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I did. That's a good one.
Very good one. And some parents that are very paranoid and they're in the woods are trying to keep their kids from leaving the house or going anywhere or any contact because of this outbreak. And it ends in the end, they end up, the kids go about their lives and the parents end up with the virus who tried to, I'm sure we all know some people in the recent pandemic who are hiding away. And I was guilty for the first few weeks of it, but
no, anybody like that.
Yeah. Guilty, at first I thought all these years of watching zombie movies and stuff like this, like I was like Kobe in the playoffs, man, lights are on. like here we go. But then I ended up getting COVID. I'm like, all right, I'm that parent in that movie. You can't get away from this stuff. So about it, just creepy. I love movies where they, it ends up, there's a message in the end of it. I love how Romero did that with zombie movies. It wasn't just a zombie movie. So I can't give a spoiler, but go see Godzilla.
Go see Godzilla. Okay.
Not just a Godzilla movie. It's good.
I'll call you when I've seen it and we'll talk about it.
Please do. Well, call me after you see it. They're calling in movies.
Call me while I'm watching it.
All right. Go ahead. Let's hear your number four, buddy.
Well, my number four, again, a lot of these movies are older movies, and there's nothing against the new virus films. You'll see later that I talk about one from 2000. So, they're out there. But my number four is written and directed by David Cronenberg, and it stars Marilyn Chambers, the adult film star. This was one of her roles where she tried to break out and go into, regular Hollywood acting. It's called Rabid, and it's from 1977. Okay. And it is the heart-pounding journey through the twisted mind of director David Cronenberg surrounding a young woman named Rose, again, played by Marilyn Chambers, who finds herself amid a horrifying medical experiment gone awry. So her and her boyfriend are motorcycling through the back country, and they get into this horrible accident, and she's burned in just all, it's just, but she's picked up, and there happens to be this experimental, like, plastic surgery hospital that it's closer to take her there. And so the doctor wants to do this procedure to save her life. And in it, she ends up getting this disease that is transferred through the implants. And it makes her turn into, I don't want to call her a vampire, but she has this thing that will come out of her and it bites and sucks and drinks stuff out of her. And then it transmits it to that person And of course, with Cronenberg, there's always going to be some body horror parts to it. There's the eroticism involved in it, because usually it's male and female or female and male, but then it devolves into more and more and more. She knows what's happening, but she can't stop herself. Then she becomes patient zero. And this is all in Canada. So they're looking for her, and it's just a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but it's about as close as you could be to non-dead zombies as you can get. And again, Cronenberg's mind is just so twisted. You just gotta love him. Again, it's called Rabid, and it's from 1977. So, ever seen that one?
I feel like I have. I feel like there's a remake of this.
There is, that the show Something Sisters did. Yeah. You saw that one?
I definitely want to say that there's been a remake that I've seen too.
Yeah, it's these. I think it was these two sisters who have made some horror movies lately, and I believe they redid it.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you should go out and find it. If nothing else, just for the motorcycle accident part.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so we're now on your number three.
A modern day classic, Outbreak.
Yes. Good one.
Ironically, speaking of the pandemic, and the when I did catch COVID the first time, and you still had to be like, that meant 14 days you weren't doing anything, even though after about, like, after the third day, I was like, yeah, I don't feel sick anymore.
Doesn't matter.
it didn't matter. So I just went stir crazy for 2 weeks, never leaving the house. So ironically, thinking of this movie, the 14th day of getting out of quarantine from COVID, I had my first show back, like music show.
Okay.
And I went to go to this gig, and I'd seen pictures. There's a vet in town. He owns a monkey. And so he'll go to bars and the monkey's hanging out. Now, I'm an animal lover. I've always wanted to meet this monkey. So I go to this gig. First day out of quarantine, the monkey's looking at me like this. We're going to be best friends. He's right on the stage. So I walk up, monkey runs up my arm. Long story short, I'm like, can I pet your monkey? Like, of course. Touch him. He bites the I curse in the show. Bites the living expletive out of my ear. And I'm like frozen. And there's blood going down my neck. And the lady was just kind of, she'd been throwing, I guess, I don't know. I won't say she was, but it seemed like it. She's like, did it get you? I'm like, you need to get your monkey.
Yeah.
For how far I can throw still.
Grab your monkey, woman.
Yeah. And then
he didn't take any of your ear, it looks like. Just punctured some holes in it.
He got it good. And I will say, a monkey bite feels like a grown man punching you as hard as he can. And what's funny is after that, so she's like, don't worry, we're vets. He doesn't have AIDS or herpes T, which kills you instantly. I'm like, what? Now, one thing about none of that.
Now? It's got monkeypox, probably.
And I went to the pharmacist at a Walmart, and she was a nice Asian lady, and I like to make jokes. So I was like, I called a buddy of mine who's a doctor. He called me in a cream, which he later told me was for dog and cat bites. He's like, I don't know. Never
close enough.
But I told the lady about the monkey bite. She calls me later that day. She's like, my husband is in charge as the head of UMC, which is a hospital here. He's the head of infectious diseases there. And I told him about your monkey bite. He says, if you have fever or anything, you need to go to the emergency room immediately. I'm like, oh my God. And all I think about is this movie, Outbreak, and this monkey, this patient zero.
Anyway. And now you've got this craving for bananas all the time. I don't understand it.
My calcium's great these days. But
what's your number? Well, my number three we've discussed earlier, but it's not an honorable mention. It's my number three, and it is the original Crazies from 1973.
Yeah.
Another George Romero film that's not about zombies. It's
I saw it. And loved it equally as much as the original.
It's a completely different film in that this one focuses on the crazy of the people, not so much the violence of them. And then you've got the story of them working on Trixie itself. And I think one of the things about this movie is that not only do they focus on the crazy of the people, but the craziness of the army's efforts to put a stop to it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got several people, David, Clark, Judy, I can't remember the other girlfriend's name, but you've got these people who are struggling very hard to keep it together. And then later on, when they meet a father and a daughter, and you think everybody's okay, and then one by one they start to just lose it. And the scene with the father and the daughter just shook me. And still, I mean, there's not even violence to it. It's just what this disease can do to people and make them. And you have the same thing where the guy sets the house on fire and he's just kind of out and about. And I think one of the most heartbreaking parts of it was when David has to take his girlfriend Judy and tries to hide her and puts a whole bunch of cinder blocks to kind of like fortify her so that no one can get to her, and her little hand is just coming out, and she's just there's so many parts of that movie that really just stick with you.
And
then the way that it ends, where Dr. Watts has finally discovered what he thinks is the cure, and as he's running down the hallway, the mob just ends up killing him, and he drops and breaks it, and they don't even know that he's figured a cure, and they've just got to pick up and move on to another town. And it's crazy. That's all I could say. It's crazy. All right. Well, we're at the part of the show where I get to use the word penultimate, because Jason, we are at your penultimate favorite virus film. I paid $5 for that earlier in 2023, so I have to use it every episode.
Are we not at number two?
Yes, sir.
All right. Maybe I don't know penultimate.
It means the second.
So it's kind of a two movie, blurred as one.
Ooh, look at you breaking the rules already.
Yeah, that's
like
how
a pro. Mm-hmm.
The 28 days, weeks later movies. So this one, and I'm kind of, it's kind of, they're not zombies, but they're zombies, from a rage virus. And
from a monkey.
Yep. And I personally, I don't know why I love, and I guess we all do, we always love this post-apocalyptic, the world has ended, what are you going to do with it? That's why I said, like, when COVID hit, I was like, boom, been waiting. I'm trained.
Did you have toilet paper stocked up?
Oh, I'm a, if you can't tell, I'm a toy collector. I'm a book collector. I know how to beat people trying to get stuff at 6 a.m.
Okay.
So I didn't have it stocked up to begin with, but I was like, oh, I can beat you to it. That's how I have some of these people that no one else could find in Target.
All right. I got you.
Yeah. Sorry. Getting a little prideful here. But yeah, I love the feel. 28 days later was more showing the desolation of, you're with complete strangers. You're in the middle of nowhere. Probably what happened in that kind of moment. You're going to lose loved ones. Weeks later, kind of upped the more action horror side of it, which I dug. There's a really cool scene at the beginning where there's all a bunch of group of survivors in this house, and it seems calm and peaceful, but then all hell breaks out, and it is a scene where he is literally running from, it looks like 40 or 50 of these rage zombies.
And it's just all nuts.
Yeah, all nuts. So really love those movies. What's your number two?
Well, I'm going to agree with you to the point where 28 days later is my number two as well.
Wow.
Yes. So I didn't include 28 weeks later for no other reason than I just picked the first one, because that is the movie that to me really started the whole zombie or virus,
Riders
or walkers. And people will bring up, oh, 28 Days Later was the best zombie movie. It's not a zombie movie.
Yeah.
It's a virus movie. So I have to applaud you, sir, for knowing and saying that this is a virus film.
And I only included the weeks just because I really love that opening scene.
Yeah.
Because you can think, now that guy was a real skinny, older guy, but who's running. But I thinking of myself, like, I'm not a fast runner. Mm-hmm. But if 40 or 50 of these things are behind me, I'm sure I'm going to have the stamina, you know?
Right, right. Now, is that where he's running for the boat?
He's running for the boat. And it's like he's running out of the hill, and there's like, you know, 40 or 50 of these things behind him. And I can just imagine that sheer terror of, am I going to run out of gas before I get to this boat?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Here to be, you know, former track star. You know? I feel like he's probably been smoking Marble Lights his whole life and drinking at the pub, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, I love Cillian Murphy in this movie. The way that when he comes out of the coma, he's so thin and emaciated. And Danny Boyle just did some amazing stuff with this film.
Oh, yeah.
The way that it's so aggressive at the beginning with, you know, these P2P type people, you know, oh, we're going to release all of them. And then it literally like eats his face off.
Right.
And then it's quiet. It's 28 days later and it's quiet. And he comes out and, you know, to his shock, everything is deserted until he ends up finding himself being chased by these people, not knowing what the heck's going on. But he gets saved by Selena Mark. And I love the fact that, you know, it's, the movie's called 28 Days Later, but it should have been called 56 Days Later. Because there's 28 days where he's in the hospital and then he wakes up. And then at the end of the movie, it's been another 28 days, which I don't remember it knowing that it was another 28 days. It wasn't until I came back and did the research.
I was going to say that either until you just said it.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that if you turn around and get the DVD, that there's three alternate endings. And one of them starts really early, like in the hospital where when they're trying to get some supplies near the end. And there's a whole alternate ending that takes place from there and goes off a whole nother direction, which you know, just blows my mind. And if you ever have an opportunity, you pick it up cheap, you know, it's on DVD and, you know, you can get it and watch them.
I have a whole plan since we're about to run out of physical media that I'm thinking. I could be wrong, but I'm hoping that the Targets and Best Buys here in the next week or two toward the end of there, that we might get this stuff, boost this collection.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's actually what I've been working on is going through mine. And, you know, I'm not one of these people who has to go out and have the, you know, okay, it's out on Blu-ray. I'm going to get it on Blu-ray now. Oh, it's on 4K. Well, I'll get it on 4K now. So I've got a crap ton of DVDs. And I've been going through them and I'm like, you know, I'm perfectly fine with it. You put it on, it looks fine with me. If you got a brand new movie and get the 4K, it's okay. You get the 4K and you get the OLED and everything. Sure, it's amazing. But when I'm watching a movie from 77, it's fine, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think I will always be a physical media person myself. So.
Oh, I do too. Unfortunately, they're taking it away from us. But you can't see, but down here below me is all vinyl records.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we'll get our DVDs collected after that. And it'll be the fun new thing to find DVDs and Blu-rays.
There you go. There you go. Well, all right. Well, let's get down to it, sir. What is your favorite virus film?
It is. It was in this is kind of a twofer as well, because I like the American version and I like the Spanish version where it originated.
Wait. I love you. I'm just saying, you're up there now.
REC, Quarantine. Love them both. I mean, it's intense. on the edge of your seat the entire time. It's you're trapped in a small building. Love it.
Yes. You're go ahead, talk about it some more and then I'll jump in.
If you have not seen this, you've done a disservice in your life. It's about we've got kind of a news crew. It's kind of one of those, what do they call them? You know, Blair Witch Project kind of movies.
Yeah.
What do they call
it? It's a found footage.
Found footage, yeah.
And let's just talk about the Spanish version, because the American version, while it's good, Julie Carpenter is amazing, the Spanish version is where it's at.
Oh, it is. 100%.
Yeah. And they're doing a TV show that's basically while you're asleep, where it goes around where other people's jobs keep them up at night. And that this young lady is following them, this group.
And they're following a fire department. They go to this house, an apartment building, and all hell breaks loose. This virus is, they're not zombies, but it deals with the occult and all kinds of stuff. It's great. There's been sequels from the Spanish folks, and those are equally as fun. I'm probably going to go watch it tonight after talking about it. I'm getting hyped up.
No, those are excellent films. And what I love most about REC, and I will tell you, this is a spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen it, please stop and go and watch them and come back, because I'm going to ruin it for you if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, buckle up. So what I love about the first film is that you get there and you quickly realize what's going on. Oh, it's zombies. And then you find out, well, no, it's not zombies. It's rabies. And you're like, okay, so it's a virus. And the government knows about it and they've locked you down and these people are going to get out. And and then you get to the end of the movie and you're like, it's not rabies. It's the occult. It's a spiritual thing, you know. And then, and the movie's over and you're like, what the hell? And
It's crazy.
Now, I saw that movie someone had gotten me a copy of it when it was just out over in Spain. It hadn't been released yet. And I had a little bitty 5-inch screen DVD player. And I sat in bed in the dark. Tina was asleep next to me, headphones on, watching that film in complete darkness.
Oh, dude, wow.
It was the way to see that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
My friend Andy, I told you about, that was our big thing. I mean, we went and saw Quarantine. I want to say he had seen REC before. I had not. So we saw Quarantine and I immediately went and found how I could watch REC and was like, this smokes that one that I just loved,
Yeah.
And then I've subsequently watched all the sequels and, those are my jams right there.
Yeah, I will say the Quarantine 2 movie is weak, but even REC 4, I think it is, where it's on a ship or something out, and you find out it's all, but even I really enjoyed that one too, taking it in different ways.
Yeah, and I was going to say, those movies, what I loved about them, I'm a huge Resident Evil video game fan. Horror is what I want to watch. It's what I want to play on when I play video games. I'm not drawing a survival horror comic, but there might be one day. But that movie reminded me of Resident Evil. The copy, but it was that vibe. Oh, it's a whole mystery. It's not just a simple we're running from these things. It's mindless. See, Cabin Fever, I said it was fun. It's mindless. There's not. But this is oh, wow. Like you said, it's rabies. Oh, no, it's not rabies. It's an occult.
Yeah.
I do find zombie movies never go. These are probably those zombies we've heard about. Not exist in zombie movie worlds.
Yeah, exactly. And some of them do and some of them don't. And so it's interesting. Return of the Living Dead is one of the best metas before meta was a thing, when they find out later that headshots don't kill them, and then he's like, oh, the movies lied to us. No, this is you get my seal of approval on this one, sir.
Well, thank
you. You are very welcome.
I was just telling my daughter yesterday how she needs to see these movies. I'm like, I'm telling you, this will scare the crap out of you.
Yes, it will. And again, darkness is better. I prefer it with subtitles because when you listen to it dubbed, you don't get the same level of emotion from the characters, but some people just can't stand that. And so they, you know, they have to listen to it dubbed.
I might have trained her on subtitles with Godzilla because she was, she's 15. So much read. And like, yes. Just how's it going to be when there's like action going on? I'm like, well, the reading during action will be,
Godzilla!
nothing to really worry about. Catching the 40 points of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Raising them upright. I can appreciate that.
So. Yeah. Well, definitely go see it, guys. Well, this is March, so you've already seen it. What do you think?
I've already seen it. Oh, I thought it was amazing. I can't wait for the next one. I'm actually 23 Godzilla films in now. It's been amazing, you know?
They can keep it coming.
Well, I'm going to go and pair your amazing choice with my very, very much low-key but still favorite virus film of all time. Back to 1971, based off the amazing novel by Michael Crichton. I am talking about The Andromeda Strain.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Most people will go, oh my God, it's so boring. I could not disagree more. This movie is about one of the slowest burns that you can ever. It's a mystery. It does have action. It does have subterfuge. It's just so much fun. Now, have you seen it?
I don't believe I have seen that one. I'm familiar with the book.
Okay. And there was a remake in early 2000s with Andre Brower, I believe. Okay. And I did see that, and it was fine. So if you're familiar with the story, it's a U.S. satellite crashes outside of Piedmont, New Mexico. And all of the residents, except for two people, are immediately found to be dead.
Okay.
There is a baby, and there is an old town drunk. And those two people survived. So they go out, and they discover that the satellite actually has brought something down with it. And this thing is attacks the blood. And it turns it and crystallizes it and turns it into a powder. So an elite team of people are brought together into a Nevada facility called Wildfire. And they're like five or six layers deep. And they're all told that there is a nuclear bomb in this facility. And if this thing gets out, the bomb will go off, wiping it out. Oh, and again, it's a mystery because they're trying to figure out what the disease is. And how to stop it, why the old man and the baby aren't affected by it. And if you haven't seen it, I really do suggest you go out and watch it. It's a long movie. I think it's almost 3 hours long. And they find out, literally near the very end of the movie, what kept those two alive and are able to replicate it and stop it, dismantling the bomb like seconds before it goes off.
Yeah.
So it's a great, great, great film. Again, it's super. It is the polar opposite of REC and Quarantine.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons why I think I love it so much is one of the very, very early episodes of $6 Million Man. Had an episode called Population Zero, I believe.
Yeah.
And it uses scenes from this movie in that episode. So anyway, that's just all. I'll watch it no matter how, whatever, if it's on, I'll catch it right where it is and start. And all I can say is clean your equipment. Take all the paper out of your equipment. You save the universe. Well, that's it, sir.
Well, man, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Have you been on podcasts before?
I've been on a few of them.
You have? Well, you have? Say again?
I said none as good as this one.
It's been my favorite. Oh, I am honored. Thank you. I did enjoy it. You're a lot of fun.
I got your Venmo earlier to say that. So that was
good. Well, obviously, you're not supposed to say it. I'll cut that out.
Oh, bad.
No, it seemed very sincere, though. Thank you. It was well worth it.
Exactly.
So you and I will be seeing a lot of each other this coming 2024. I'm taking the show on the road. We'll both be at Louisiana Comic Con in Lafayette, right? You're coming.
I don't know if I'm at that one. I think I'm in Kansas City that weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw a couple that you were at. So are you doing Fan Expo Louisiana down in New Orleans in January?
No. I've been there 2 years in a row, but I think I kind of waited too late to apply this year.
Okay.
So I voted on that one.
Pelican?
That's the same weekend. Nope, Pelican, I will have my art there, but I will be in Huntsville.
RetroCon?
I will be there.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Well, we'll see each other at least once.
We'll see each other more than that.
Yeah. And we'll see Heroes. North at HeroesCon.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, we're going to go there again. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so good. Well, this is the part of the show where I ask if you'd like to come back. And all right, well, then let's figure out something that we can do, and we'll get you locked in and get you coming back for 2024. Well, in 2024.
I'm in. You just awesome. Let me know.
All right, brother. And to all of you out there in the podcast universe, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fave 5 from Fans. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave us a review and a rating on your favorite podcast app. It's a free way that you can help the show to grow. And if you like it, consider telling a friend about us. And if you don't like it, maybe consider, you know, telling someone who tries to have like 12 items in the 10 item or less aisle, because now we have to like check our own stuff out. And duh, we know you can count and you know that you have 12s. Whatever. Tell them about the show and maybe it'll ruin their day.
Yeah.
We invite you to interact with us on all of the socials too. New episodes come out every Friday, so be sure to subscribe and follow us so that you can catch all the episodes. And don't forget to look for our other show, Complete Disarray with Jamie Ray, where we take one topic and we ramble on and on and on about it. I mean, but in a good way. Totally. It's a good way.
Yeah.
And remember, folks, it may not be the best. It may not be the most popular, but if it's your favorite, then it's good enough for us. Thank you for joining us. Jason, take us out.
Yeah, I will just say that check out my art, Instagram, Jason Turner Music and Art, at Jason Turner Music and Art, Facebook, JT Art and Illustration, and then JasonTurnerArt.com or JasonTurnerBand.com on the music. Appreciate it. I don't have a cool phrase, but...
How about, are you on MySpace?
I pray that I still am.
Yeah, I think MySpace has become like a musician's thing. So check it out.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Cool.
All righty. Thank you. Good night.
Appreciate it.